The runoff for Georgia's 6th congressional district is June 20th. Sunday is the deadline to register to vote. Now, Georgia law originally closed voter registration back in March. That's a month before the primary election. But that's out of step with federal law, and a voting rights group successfully sued the state. That's why the deadline was extended. Joining me is Chris Joyner, columnist for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution Watchdog. Good to have you back, Chris.
Thanks for having me, Celeste.
And we also have Julie Houck, Special Senior Counsel for the Voting Rights Project. That's part of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. That group filed the lawsuit. Hi, Julie.
Good morning, Celeste.
Chris, can you explain how federal law on voter registration differed from the way Georgia was behaving?
I can. I'm sure that Julie will correct me if I'm wrong on this, since she's more the expert on the law. But my understanding is that the conflict between federal and state law is the state views the runoff as a continuation of the special election.
Where but it's all one
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. So that there was a registration period for the election that was prior, that was in March, as you had said, and then when they closed that out, the runoff would be a continuation of that same election. Federal law appears to be in conflict in that. If you listen to what Julie has to say, I'm sure she can tell you a little more about that.
So, Julie, how does this raise to the level of a civil rights violation?
The case was brought under the National Voter Registration Act, which was enacted in 1993, to make sure that there were unnecessary barriers were removed from registering to vote and to vote. Our case alleges that the Georgia law was in direct conflict with the NVRA, and specifically, the NVRA prohibits states from having a voter registration deadline of more than 30 days in advance of a federal election. And by Georgia construing the initial special election in the subsequent runoff to be all one election, in other words, a continuation of the initial election, there was no opportunity for people to vote ahead of the runoff. And the federal law specifically applies to runoff elections. So our contention was that the Georgia law violated the rights of eligible Georgians to register and vote for the runoff.
So, Julie, has this made a difference in other elections that we know of? Are there people that will actually use this time to register?
Well, our clients from the case are busy registering people in the 6th Congressional District now. They've been doing it since the court ordered the extension, and there were people who actually registered after the March 20th cutoff who will now have an opportunity to vote in the runoff.
How high are the stakes, Chris, for, I guess, turnout, not only turnout, but registration as well?
Well, I think that's a real wild card. I mean, this is a highly registered district already. And as my colleague Christina Torres has said that in her reporting on this, it's difficult to see how deep they can go into likely voters. Now, they're going to try to register people who are sort of unlikely voters, people who haven't voted in prior elections and who are hard to sometimes get to the polls. How well they can, on the Ossoff side, how well they can activate that voter base will sort of depend on how successful this is.
And John Ossoff is the Democrat running in the runoff. He's running against Republican Karen Handel. When you say highly registered, what does that mean? Does that mean at least half of people are registered? What's considered highly registered?
Well, just compared to other congressional districts in Georgia, those that are eligible to vote are largely already registered. And so they're reaching into a much more shallow pool than they would if they were in another district.
Julie, this is the beginning of a hopefully permanent change. Right now, the suit's not over. This is just an injunction, correct?
That's correct. And the judge's order specifically related to the June 20th runoff in the 6th Congressional District. So our case is asking for broader relief so that in future federal runoff elections, people will have an opportunity to register and vote at least 30 days before that election.
Why do so many say that not having the chance to register specifically targets communities of color, or often targets communities of color? Why that connection?
Well, it's not inconsequential that these runoff schemes are primarily located in the southern states and were adopted around the times of literacy tests and other ways that the southern states were attempting to specifically disenfranchise African-American voters. So these runoff schemes were adopted to exclude people from being able to vote. And that's essentially what it's done here until we got the relief from the judge, because people like Jill Myers, one of the individual plaintiffs in the lawsuit, had just moved to Sandy Springs, and she was unable to register and vote in time for the runoff, even though she had missed the original deadline only by 2 days. So there were people who gained citizenship, for example, after the original election takes place. There's people who moved to the district. There's young people who turn 18 who have not pre-registered, who would all become eligible to vote under the 30-day rule provided under the NVRA. So This law in Georgia would have disqualified all of those people from being able to register and vote.
And this represents, Chris, a change that is occurring before our very eyes in the 6th District, but in Cobb County as a whole, as it becomes less, as I guess, white conservatives lose their dominance in that particular area. Is that something that is going to be permanent? Is this going to be just the new norm?
Well, I mean, certainly the 6th District has changed over the years in South Cobb County, in southern Gwinnett County, where it touches in that Buford Highway corridor, and northern, northeastern DeKalb. The district's more purple maybe than people thought. You know, is that going to translate into a Democrat being able to successfully win that seat? I mean, there are a lot of predictions that, you know, the state is turning more blue. We've yet to see that actually translate into election victories. So, I mean, it's one reason to watch this race closely.
And people are watching it closely. And as of now, it's the most expensive House race in history, as far as I'm concerned, probably because people around the country are turning this into a symbolic race.
It's extraordinary, really. And that's, you know, part of this is an accident of history. But in, you know, Georgia political life, I cannot recall a time on a congressional level and a House level where we've seen this kind of interest in an actually closely contested race.
Julie, this is one sort of tentacle in what's a larger beast of fighting over not only voter registration, but voting rights. What do you expect will be settled in courts? What's going to be argued in courts in terms of voter registration and voting rights in the years ahead?
Well, just recently in Georgia, the Lawyers Committee has brought other litigation to remedy efforts to disenfranchise minority voters there. We successfully brought a case against the Georgia Secretary of State, who was using a exact match system for voter registration that disparately impacted African Americans, Latinos, and Asian Americans in trying to register to vote. That case was resolved with the settlement with the Secretary of State's office. Hancock County, Georgia, attempted to remove primarily African American voters in the city of Sparta ahead of a hotly contested biracial municipal election from the registration rolls. We see in other states, such as North Carolina, where the Supreme Court just denied cert on the state's appeal from a Fourth Circuit decision that found that the state attempted to surgically disenfranchise African Americans and minorities from voting there, and the legislature now is trying to find a new way to pass a voter ID and other restrictive voting laws there. So I expect that this is going to continue, and groups like ours and other groups across the country are going to just have to respond to these cases under Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act and other laws that help enfranchise and prevent disenfranchisement of minority voters in the future. And a lot of this has been caused by the fact that the Supreme Court in the Shelby County decision gutted Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act, which used to be a way to stop some of these states and localities from engaging in this conduct and disenfranchising voters before you even had to get to court. And so since that's now gone, we have to use Section 2 and other remedies to prevent disenfranchisement of minority voters.
That is Julie Houck. She is special senior counsel for the Voting Rights Project, part of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. And we are also joined by Chris Joyner, columnist for the AJC Watchdog. Thanks so much to both of you.
Certainly.
Thank you, Celeste.